My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. I have a really, really amazing podcast to share with you today. So these two girls are incredible, Grace and Abby. We connected, of course, via the world of Instagram. They have an amazing podcast called Finding Your Feet. They are my Gen Z new besties. And they share the most amazing life hacks, ways to get through, kind of navigate your 20s, and really looking after your mindset, self-development. So welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're literally so honored to be here. We love your podcast so much.
Oh my goodness, stop. I first found these girls actually when I just launched this podcast and I got hooked. I couldn't stop listening to you. They've got such a calm tonality, which I think you will all love. So for anyone who doesn't know you, I'd love you to give kind of like a brief introduction into you guys and then kind of like how you came together to create the podcast.
Yeah. So we're a duo, best friends. Our love story started years ago when we were like, we met when we were 17, I think you were 16, because there's a year age gap between us. And we met at fashion college. That was like, was both our like careers prior to this. I mean, we still love it. I still think in my life, I'm going to do things in fashion. I think you will too.
Yeah.
We've got such like that creative eye for it and love for it. But at the minute, we're not in the fashion game, but that's where we actually met. And we were just in a class when I first actually like met Abby. I really didn't think she was who she was just because she was like friends with this really noisy, quite, gobby naughty girl in the class. No, she was nice, not to be rude about her. She'll never listen to this. But I just didn't think Abby was the calming, self-development loving, creative, focused woman that she is now. So at first we weren't like not friends, but I don't know. Then we bonded in class over a love of self-development. We just loved, even from a young age, like learning about different things and bettering ourselves and, you know, being healthy, like body and mind, everything. Mm-hmm. Like we really bonded over stuff like that. And then from there, our friendship just really grew. And we were always like talking about, what books are you reading? And when we'd meet up, we'd have these big, massive conversations about all this like stuff in the world of self-development and like the universe and manifesting, share all these ideas. And we were like, we'd just talk for hours. And then, 7 years later, we were in the COVID lockdown, like everybody else was. And we were literally both put on furlough from our jobs, like our fashion jobs that we've now left. We were working in London in fashion and we were on furlough. And we were back up north in the countryside. And we were like, what should we do with like our time off? Like, let's make some use out of it. Like, let's do something to keep us occupied. And I was like, why don't we start a podcast? And it just went from there. We didn't really think too much about what it was going to be or how we were going to do it. We just both had such a passion for bettering your mindset, because I think it's so important to have such a strong mindset in life just to get you through it. And especially in your 20s, like when you're growing up and you're navigating all the changes and trying to figure out who you are. It's a whole process. And we just had like the passion for like self-development and bettering yourself and being your best self just oozing out of us. And we were like, let's just make a podcast, let's just talk on there, and if people like it, then great. Like, we just thought it would be a little hobby. We honestly thought we'd go back to our jobs and just do it at the weekend for fun, but now we've left our jobs and this is our main focus, and it's just grown into a beautiful little community of listeners. And we're on over 100 episodes now, and we talk to the most incredible people and pick their brains. We just picked your brain on our podcast.
That's how we
met and how we got to where we are now.
I think that's as well why our actual name of the podcast is so important as well, because we always said we're just finding our feet. Like, we just literally love it. We love immersing ourselves and learning new things. We thought, why not put this out to the world? Like, this can help people. And as we learn and grow, everybody can find their feet together. And it's just like a beautiful process.
Yeah. Because we're not like gurus in anything.
No.
And we've never said that we are. When we've always said from the start to our listeners, we're literally on this journey with you. And from meeting some of them in real life as well now, because we did get to meet some of them in person in last year, which was incredible. And just how we talk to them on Instagram, connect with them, like we're friends. Like they literally like see us as them, and which I love so much, because that's like what we always wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. Like we are on this journey with us. Like you come and listen to the show and you feel, you can relate, you feel like, oh, do you know what? I'm not alone, that like, I feel like that too, and Grace and Abby are going through it as well, and all these different things. So I think that's what's so beautiful about the community that's been built around our show, is that we're all like, we're just on this journey of self-development together and figuring out life together. I think the process of finding your feet, like, obviously gets easier as you get older, but I think it never ends. You never stop learning about yourself. So yeah. That's one of the other amazing things, and like why we wanted to call it Finding Your Feet, because it's a beautiful journey.
I was just going to say that it's being comfortable with the journey, isn't it? And actually thinking that we don't know everything yet, but what can come is amazing, right? The change is amazing.
Yeah.
So I guess in your transition, obviously, from being in fashion, what actually got you kind of onto this journey? Because finding your feet is very different to fashion, right?
Yeah.
So are you saying it was kind of within you guys and you were having these conversations, but what really got you started on the journey?
We both got individual stories on what made us so passionate about having a strong mindset, and they both come, like, obviously I'll explain mine and shares, but they, like most people, they both come from a point of struggling. I mean, you don't really see the true value and why you need to invest in your mind, your mental health, your well-being until you're in a place where you haven't got a strong foundation of your own well-being. And for me, I just hit 17 and I was just completely filled to the brim with anxiety. Like I just couldn't get rid of it. I didn't understand anything about it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know, like, that when I was having like anxiety in my body and panic attacks and things like this, I didn't even know that that was happening. I thought I was ill. Like, I just didn't know anything about it, no education about it whatsoever. And actually, anxiety is such a common thing, and you're not weird if you have it. Like, it's a part of life that we all experience on some degree at certain points. And if you understand what it is, you can completely manage it. And so for me, it was being in that place where I was like, just sky high anxiety, and just like, how do I not know what this is? And how do I learn how to manage it? And for me, that's what started, that's what really propelled me to be motivated every single day to show up for my well-being practices and to be learning and talking to people and reading things and learning more about how I can have a really great, healthy mind and feel good in myself and feel confident and just feel mentally well. Because when you're not, life isn't fun. And I like, life is here to be enjoyed, and we're not here for a long time. Like life is long, but it also is short. And everyone I think deserves to feel happy and to feel well, and it's so possible. So for me, I was just in a place where I wasn't feeling that, and so it completely propelled me to be like, right, well, I need to learn everything about anxiety. I need to understand what it's about so that I can understand myself, find out how I manage it, because everybody's got different techniques. I was working with a therapist and everything, and I just, yeah, it just lit this fire in me from then to never give up on learning more and keep showing up every day for my own brain and my well-being so that I can be my best self and I can enjoy life and I can be a good friend and everything. So that's like sort of the why behind like what propelled me into ended up doing Find Your Feet, because we with a podcast, you put in a lot of work to get it going, a lot. You know, you don't just start and have a huge audience. You know, it takes time to build it up. You've got to be really consistent. I think a lot of people obviously don't end up going that far with their podcast because they give up, and that's fine. It is a big time investment, for us, like, you know, we just don't ever stop. We can't stop because in ourselves, we're always learning these things anyway. So we're like, we just need to share it. But, you know, I want to share it as well, because that 17-year-old girl that was like me will be listening to my show and I can help her. And if I can help, I had a show like this when I was younger, then, you know, that would have been life-changing for me. So just to be able to come and bring that into the world is really important. So that for me, that's my sort of thing behind it.
It's beautiful. Yeah, you just went out so nice, and you really do live and breathe that. So it's really beautiful. And for me, it was similar in terms of coming from a place of despair, but more from like my family members. So my dad doesn't mind me speaking openly about this. My dad has always struggled with depression like his whole life. He says for as long as he can remember, actually, he's experienced depression. So growing up, I was like super aware of that. And I think coming into my teenage years, and especially around the years that I met you, I started thinking about it a lot. I don't know if it was in a healthy way or an unhealthy way, but I always say to my dad, I'm really kind of not so much grateful, because I can't say I'm grateful for seeing someone in so much pain, but I believe that everything is divinely perfect. And I do believe that he kind of had to be like that for me to like grow and learn into the person that I am. Mm-hmm. Because when I was coming into those teenage years, I was looking around and thinking, how many other people are dealing with this? Like, is this normal? Like, surely people deserve to live a happy life. Just like you said, like, surely this isn't normal. And obviously it really affects me seeing my dad like that. So it really did create that interest within me. So I think that's why I started reading. I remember reading one book called Clarity by Jamie Smart, who I don't think it's that much of a popular book, but I remember I was like literally obsessed with it. I was like, what is this? And then that's when we kind of started our development of like always chatting about stuff. And as well, I think we dive into like different parts, which was always interesting, because I'd be like, what's Grace doing? Like, Grace, you always like kind of like grounded me, like, what's Grace doing? I need to know, we need to learn. But I definitely think, yeah, seeing my dad go through that depression kind of lit something in me within, saying like, I never want to be in that place. And I also really, really want to help people around the world understand that they don't need to be in that place. Or even if they are in that place, they don't need to stay in that place. Like, happiness is always an option and healing is always an option. So I think that's kind of what led me onto this path.
My goodness, that's such generous answers. And I think they're so different, aren't they? But actually, you've got this amazing synergy that at the core, you've got the same mission. And I think that's super powerful. Like, you can get the rapport, like when you listen to the girls' podcast, you'll feel it as well. Like, it comes from a place of like, it's authenticity, which is, you know, something that's really rare to find, like full authentic kind of messaging. And so it's really interesting how you've started your journey and where you're going. So I always pose this question to people, but we naturally have mindset blocks, right? Within, when we're doing this work, you know, what have been your barriers to growth kind of initially? Is there anything that you kind of struggle with, or like when you first started, you were like, I'm done with this.
Do you mean like growth as in career growth with finding your feet, or personal like growth,
like your personal development? So like, yeah, like all the work that you're doing, like the healing work, or you know, to kind of get you on this journey to kind of, again, I guess to shape your podcast and the messages you want to talk about.
I think for me, again, going quite deep, not saying too surface level, I think in terms of my own healing journey, one thing that I really came up against and something I'm kind of working through is actually letting myself feel emotions in order to let them go. So like through my teenage years and growing up, I actually got really, really good at bottling up emotions and not so much letting them come to the surface and just keeping them inside. And when I embark more on my spirituality and more on my healing journey, that is something I've come up against, is me thinking, oh, like positive thoughts, which is great, we all need to think positive thoughts, but sometimes I actually overdo it a bit and I don't really deal with what I need to kind of think and feel through. So that's what I'm actually in the process of now and kind of learning and growing with, is actually feeling my emotions, because the more we feel them and allow them to come up, the more they can come out. Like, I've got all this stuff inside me and I don't want to carry it around for years. And as well, it just makes me think, like, there's so many people that walk around their whole lives and they could be like dictating the whole lives over one little event that's like holding so much shame or so much anger. And it makes me so sad. So with my own healing journey, one thing that I definitely came up against was with actually just letting myself feel the emotions, and just know that if I let myself feel these sad emotions, they're not going to stay forever. And that probably does actually lead back to like seeing my dad. It's like, I didn't want to feel the emotions because I thought, God, if I feel those emotions, are they going to stay here forever? I don't want that. So with my healing, I think, yeah, that's one thing that I came up against, was just letting myself feel the emotions and just know that it's okay to feel the emotions.
And so I'd really love to know and kind of unpick, like, how did you do that? Like, what was that process?
So at the minute, I'm working quite a lot like somatically. So stuff like breath work, really sitting in meditations, kind of healing my energy centers. So I'm working a lot with like my root chakra, kind of thinking, what are the emotions that I'm holding there? And well, at the minute, I'm doing a year-long course, so it's quite a long process. So I'm kind of just at the start of that. But I think, yeah, definitely looking at somatic work and really working with the body, because obviously we hold so much emotion in our bodies that we have absolutely no idea. And even memories that I probably don't properly remember, my body is still storing all that energy. So yeah, mainly like breath work, meditation, kind of energy healing has really helped me move through that.
Interesting, really interesting. What about you, Grace?
I think for me was I had limiting beliefs and things like that, but wasn't even aware that I had it.
Yeah.
But I just started to notice that like my behavior in life was not adding up to who I wanted to be and where I wanted to be. So I've always been such like a visual dreamer person. Like I always make vision boards. I'm obsessed with Pinterest and things like that. So I'd have this big grand vision for my life of career things, relationship things, things that I want. And then I'd just, it would, me trying to get that would give me that self-awareness to realize, well, where am I standing in my own way? And for me, it was like just stuff in the back of your subconscious mind that's just like, you know, that voice that says you're not enough, you're not worthy of X, Y, Z, and becoming aware of that. And for me, I was doing that through therapy and things like that and journaling and really like going into my subconscious mind and literally being like, right, getting a little torch and a duster and be like, what's in here? Let's clear this out. Because you know, like I'm very committed to building a life that I want. I've got a big like vision and dream for what I want to do. And I'm the only person that's going to get me there, but I'm also the only person that's going to stand in my own way of me getting there. So for me, a big like part of the initial blocks were definitely limiting beliefs and uncovering those. Like I remember when I heard Marissa Peer like say that her like affirmation that she's really, that she always says she's really well known for is like, I am enough. Like it's just simple. And I remember at that time in my life, like I was lacking self-love and thinking that I was enough. Like I was to a certain extent because I was doing things, but I was really still holding myself back from really stepping outside my comfort zone to get what I want in career, in relationships, in all these different things. So for me, it's been uncovering those, like, what are they? Where do they come from? Let them go, create new thoughts, new beliefs, and move forward with your life and just release them. So for me, the biggest blocks has been identifying limiting beliefs and get rid of them. Because I think we go through our lives, like a lot of us, without even realizing that they're there. And then you know, if you might get to a point where you're like, why am I not where I want to be? Or why am I behaving like this? Or why am I in this relationship? Why am I in this job? Why am I letting this person treat me like this? Or why am I not following my passion? And it might be because you've got that voice, because a teacher once told you that you can't do it, or a parent told you something, like, and you're still believing that. So for me, it's been uncovering all of those. That's been like the biggest block, and something that I still work on all the time, because there's so many hidden things that we just don't know. You're making your way through life, they start to rear their head and you become more aware of them. But yeah, for me, it's been unconscious limiting beliefs and rewriting old stories that don't serve me.
Oh, I love that. That's such an amazing soundbite, isn't it? For people to take away. Rewriting is the power, isn't it? So I guess obviously you've kind of got these coping mechanisms that you guys work with, but what comes up when you're triggered? So say, for example, you can have a conversation, right, that can bring up, maybe it was a conversation with someone from school who talks about what this teacher said and it brings up this thing again. What do you do in those situations to manage it?
I think we're really good at self-soothing. Something that we've developed like a really strong skill in, because you kind of have to. And I think especially as you're emerging through your 20s, you're going from being at home and being around your family all the time to being out in the world and you're on your own. And you obviously, like, as you go forward in your life, when you get a bit older, you have your life partner and you're with them, you start to build, you know, your own sort of family unit there in whatever way that is for you. But I think there's that process when you're in your 20s where you start to realize that you are by yourself. Like, you know, you might have moved to a new city and you're embarking on a new job and new things. You're going out there in the world and self-soothing becomes essential. So it's been something that's been really important for us, and we've got various different ways to do it. But for me, if I get triggered in a situation or something really knocks me off, like I'm where you were saying, Abby was saying she bottles up emotions. I'm a massive feeler. So I'd let myself feel everything. Maybe sometimes I let myself feel it for too long and I'm like, right, come on, rein it back in. Let's keep it moving. But I really sit with what is there and just like meditation's really, really important for me and a big part of my life. Like I do it every day. So sitting and checking in with myself and seeing what emotions come up there and just not letting those feelings think that I'm running away from them, letting them know that I'm here with them. Like whether it's anxiety, whether I'm feeling upset, whether it's not feeling enough or whatever emotions have been brought by that trigger, like just sitting with it. I'm not going anywhere. Like I'm sitting here with you. Let's work through this together. And kind of like in my head, imagine myself hugging that emotion and bringing it in because it just wants to be acknowledged and seen. And I'll sit there and I'll journal about it. I'll write letters about the situation or whatever that might have triggered me so that I can, and I won't send the letters, but just like, so I can let it go. So I'm a big believer in like feeling what you need to feel, letting it in with love and not judging. And processing it so that you can move on, because otherwise you do just hold on to things. So that's kind of how I self-soothe.
Yeah, I think as well with kind of being triggered can be a really tricky one, because I think sometimes we get put in situations where something happens and we think, why has this upset me so much? Like, was this person out to hurt me? Do they want to ruin my day? And now I kind of think, now I've learned more about myself and I am like more self-aware than I was years ago. If something triggers me now, I kind of sit and consider, why is this triggering me? Like, yes, somebody might have said something, but they probably didn't intentionally want to hurt me. And I'll even use people as an example. So if I get triggered, I might think, God, that's really hurting me. Like, that feels like a stab in my stomach. And then I think, will Grace be triggered by that? And I think, probably not. So I think, oh, this is something to do with something I've been through in the past. This is my stuff. It's maybe not even their stuff. So I take responsibility for what's coming up for me. And then the same, I really like think journaling is huge for triggering. Like I have a lot of journal entries thinking, starting with, I feel really triggered because this, this, and this. And then I try and heal that, because obviously, like I said, the more you heal it, the more it can move through you. So if I get triggered, say even in my relationship, and I think this is actually triggering a wound from a long time ago, then I work on healing that. I'll journal, I'll meditate, because the more I let go of it, it's not going to trigger me next time. But I think, yeah, I think that little bit of comparison actually really helps, because it helps you to kind of take into account, like, where is my own stuff coming into this?
Yeah. I think it's super powerful. And actually, like, to reflect back to you, that's a really accomplished way to be able to think, because often even now, like if I get triggered by something, it's really, really hard to not think about that person and think, fuck you. Like, why did you just do that? Or why have you said that? You know, to be able to think about that in a much more, yeah, like accomplished way, I guess, is really, really powerful, is really, really strong. And again, it's how we react to a situation rather than the situation. So that they're amazing, amazing tools that you use already. And I'm so grateful that you've shared them. I'd be really interested to know actually what's in your kind of everyday routine, because I imagine you girls have like got it nailed.
Yeah, we love a routine.
We do.
I think during lockdown last year, well, 22 years ago now, how crazy is that? That was like such a good opportunity for people all over the world to start to really build in strong habits, because you were at home all the time. So you did have a lot more control over your schedule. So for me, like that was the time when I was really getting down to it, and it's just stayed since then and still there. So for me, like meditation's a massive part of my day. I'll do that every day, usually in the morning, but even if not, like I'll try and squeeze it in another time. But I don't do loads. I'll just sit there and do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and that's usually enough for me. But just that daily practice with myself, like, really lets me check in with me and show up as who I want to be that day. Like, I want to present to the world the meditated version of Grace, because she's better than the non-meditated version. Like, you know, she's calmer, she's more present, she's focused, like, you know, not reacting, not getting really like thrown off by things, and just recentering myself and deciding how I want to be in the world today. So meditation's huge, and then as well just a form of movement. And I think especially like as you're going through your 20s, I think this is something you have to learn, that because when you're like growing up, you're always told how to exercise, and there's a lot of things in society making you think you need to spend like an hour a day in the gym doing high intensity stuff and things like that. And for me, the last couple of years has been really nice. I've been like, do you know what, Grace, you do what you want to do. Like, do what you want to do. Like, what kind of exercise feels good for you and your body? So I've discovered like my own sort of groove with that. I'm just doing like low impact Pilates. That's a really short amount of time, but it means I can do it every day, and it's not like draining my energy or putting cortisol in my body, it's actually like really grounding me and but also really making me stronger and strengthening my body. So I do that every day, meditation, a little bit of movement as well, and then journaling's important, but I don't do that every day. Like I just do that a couple times a week when I need it. Because I think, you know, you've got to be realistic as well. Like we're busy, like life is, there's things to do. And I think when you overwhelm yourself with all these things, I must meditate, I must do affirmations, I must journal, I must work out and think, drink a million liters of water and do all these different things. I must do EFT tapping. And there's all these amazing tools that you can do. And I love them all and I do them all, but I don't do them all every day. But what I do make sure I do every day is move in some way and do a little bit of meditation, because that's what makes me feel the most grounded. And I think if you just stick to the ones that you, that make you feel really good, it doesn't matter what everybody else does, everyone's different, do what you feel is best for you, then you can show up consistently to that, and that can be part of, that becomes your bliss time and bringing you back down in, back down to earth, because you know life can be crazy. So that's, they're my like two core things that I do every day that bring me, just keep me here, you know.
Yeah.
Keep me going. I get it.
I would say mine is super similar. Like definitely with the meditation, it's like an absolute non-negotiable for me now. And I actually noticed in the last like few weeks I've been doing this, where like say this morning I knew I had to get up early and get ready. And if I don't leave enough time for my meditation, then that time gets taken out of my getting ready time. Whereas in the past, it's like, oh, I don't have time to meditate, I need to get ready. Now it's not. It's a non-negotiable. It literally changes my life. It changes my day. If I don't get up in time, then I will just not do my hair. Do you know what I mean? Like it's so important for me to sit in my meditation in the morning. And I don't do it like every single morning, like say over Christmas. There are a few days I didn't do it, you know, when you're so busy, but you notice it straight away when you don't do it. And it really just has such a knock-on effect. So definitely meditation. I try and journal, even if it's just like a little bit of gratitude in the morning. Again, with movement, it's so important. It's really interesting because we have like very different
opposite views on
opposite. And it's weird because when you're speaking then, I actually feel like over like the last few weeks again, I feel like I've had a bit of a breakthrough with my own kind of like movement, because I went through a really weird stage where I was like getting more into spirituality and always like kind of sitting and being calm. And I started thinking, I really like weightlifting. And I was like, is that spiritual? Like, is that weird? Like, am I like cheating myself? I started getting really confused by it. And the last few weeks I've kind of sat and thought like, I can do whatever I want to be. You know, I think with spirituality and probably, yeah, a lot of your audience can relate to it, is it's such a beautiful journey to go on, but you, there's so many things where you can get lost in little avenues thinking, should I be doing this? Should I not? Should I be overthinking this? Should I not? And yeah, what that was one of the things for me. I was like, is it normal that I sit in meditation and do healing and do all this somatic work and then go and lift really heavy weights? Is that normal? But I really enjoy it. So that's what I do. Yeah. Sort of like just release a bit of stress. And then, yeah, just things like breath work. And one other thing, what you just mentioned there is, we both recently kind of been introduced to EFT. If your listeners don't know what it is, it's like emotional freedom technique where you're like tapping on your face on the meridian points. And that has been really, really powerful for me. I try and do that like almost every day, because I've just noticed like those subconscious thoughts that have been swimming around my mind for years, like come up when I'm tapping on my face. And I'm like, this is like literally like magic. Like it is an absolute game changer. So going into the new year, like that is one of my goals, to really, really work with EFT to kind of rewire those subconscious thoughts.
I love that. I think it's a real like plethora of things to pick from as well. I always say like you have to create a routine that you really like and that you want to do. Like we get it. We understand the value of meditation, as do most of my listeners. But for some people, like it just isn't for them. But there's a million other things that you can choose. So again, I think it's like curating that thing that works for you, which I feel like you guys have done really well. So I love that. Similarly, have you got any wellness hacks you want to share? Because you are queens of well-being. So what is it that like, that what's one thing that you really love?
One thing that's really changed my life over the last couple of years is definitely just sort of debunking the myths around how to look after your body and like exercise and things like that. Like I think there's so much pressure put on women to, I know you were just saying you love weightlifting and all of that, but there's so much pressure, like you must spend hours and hours in the gym and you must do this to your body to be
like hours of cardio.
Yeah, to be healthy and in
not
shape.
A vibe.
Yeah. And so I always felt like I was a little bit at war with myself with that, because I would in my like previous corporate job, I'd go to the gym before work and stuff, and I'd, you know, my day was just packed full of things, and I wasn't like seeing any like physical results in my body looking stronger or healthier, because I was just full of cortisol. So for me, like, what's been a wellness hack that's like changed my life is just to think, well, what do you want to do intuitively, move your body in that way, and find like workouts that are really short and low impact but do burn, like you work hard. Like the person who I use is Melissa Wood Health, and like I love her. She's got a hot, like it's kind of like a lifestyle when you're doing her workouts. Like it's a lifestyle, like she's like, you really do change how you're just showing up, because she just preaches so much like just show up consistently, even if it's 10 minutes a day, it's better than nothing. And yeah, I can see as well from 2 years of doing that, that yeah, your body does get in shape, and you look good, you feel good, you feel strong, you feel healthy. And, you know, like, so that works for me is just been letting go of what other people sort of tell you your wellness should be or whatever, and figuring that out for yourself. Yeah. And like a lot of what people often tell you, like even with meditation, some people think you need to sit there for like half an hour and stuff to get benefits, when you don't. Like you can just do short meditations and have massive rewards. And it's more about, for me, just making wellness be a possible for me to be really consistent with it. So it builds into my life. So keeping it short, keeping it sweet, keeping it easy to integrate into life alongside work and everything else, so that it's sustainable and you can keep doing it and do it forever and reap all the rewards from that.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I think to be intuitive as well to your body, like for example, in my 20s, I trained HIIT only. I mean, as well as yoga, I suppose, but HIIT was huge. And I go to Barry's boot camp, oh my God, every morning before work, sometimes twice a day, like massively unhealthy. I was tiny, which is not like, I'm like whatever size I am, but like I naturally should be this size. Like I was completely underweight. You didn't see it. And again, running on cortisol. So I think it's like super interesting to think in that way. And then actually to live intuitively, that is, well, that is well-being, right? That is wellness.
Yeah.
How about you, Abby?
Mine is more like a hack, I would say, just to kind of like ensure you do things that make you feel good. And that is the idea of habit stacking, which I think comes from James Clear's Atomic Habits. That really changed the game for me, because I think obviously there's so many things that you can embark on if you want to start like a little wellness ritual, whatever, like I said, meditation and stuff. I do my meditation, and then I know that at the end of that, I'm going to do like a little bit of tapping or my journaling. And that really helps you, because I put the habits together and it just helps me get more done. And it doesn't mean that I need to do like 10 minutes or something. It just means that if I'm doing one thing, I'm always going to do the other one. And I think I am quite, no one has to be obviously like do what feels intuitively right, but I'm quite strict with my habits, because if I know that something makes me feel good, I know I want to do it. So I'll put the habits together, and even like setting out times, that really helps me. Like, oh, I'm going to do this to get up at 7, 10 minutes, and I'm going to do a meditation. And just little hacks that ensure I do the habits that make me feel good. Cause it's so easy to think, oh, I'm just not going to do it today, or I won't do it this week. And then you're the one that ends up like having weird waves of anxiety and stuff like that. And it's like, it's just not worth it. Like I'd rather dedicate myself to always doing my habits.
It's amazing. That book's amazing, by the way, Atomic Habits. It's like so powerful, and it's like the simplest things to do, isn't it? There's this really interesting part of like goal setting that's called like rudders and oars, where you have this like main goal that you want to get there to with like the, you know, the rudders, but actually it's like all of the oars to get there and how you can get there and the tiny steps, and like habit stacking's amazing for that. Girls, there's so much information in here. Honestly, I could talk to them all day. but I just want to say the biggest thank you. Please do share where everyone can find you and what's one thing you've got coming up as well.
So you can find us on Instagram at Finding Your Feet Podcast. That's our, like our main social media platform, and where we're usually hanging out every day and just trying to spread good energy and teach you things about yourself. And obviously we have the podcast, which we release episodes every single Wednesday, but the links to where you can listen are all in the Instagram. And one thing we've got coming up that we're really excited about is that we're doing something with you. So we're excited about this year, just keep growing the podcast and seeing what happens. So many like magical surprises happen when you like throw yourself into the podcasting world and things come your way and meet new people. But one thing we're really looking forward to is working with you on Monday Network and being part of that and collaborate with other podcasters through that and just sort of seeing what happens. So that's what we've got coming up that we're very excited about.
Yeah, we have some really exciting guests coming up as well that we've wanted to speak to for ages. And of course, our interview with you, which was so good. So everyone will have to listen to that.
Girls, honestly. So yeah, they are, I mean, they're going to be amazing on Monday Network. There's so much coming up. They also host loads of different workshops. You do a lot of online workshops, so definitely go and follow them and you'll be able to see what's coming up next. But thank you so much for your time today. Honestly, I'm so grateful and I'm so thrilled to have you part of Monday. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's been so lovely.
Wasn't that just amazing? They are such lovely girls. They're so humble. They're so honest. They're so open. And I really do see big things coming for their podcast. So you watch out. Make sure you go and follow them. And of course, you know what time it is in the meditation. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to put both of your feet down on the floor. And I want you to really feel the earth. Really feel the earth beneath you. Noticing how the body feels today. And I want you to begin to release now. Exhale and let go. Exhale and let go. When we begin our meditation, we often feel so much tension. We find we resist the deep breath. We fight against the breath. So try to release, feel an expansion in the belly with the inhale. And relax the shoulders, relax the body with the exhale. Feel the weight of the body. Begin to notice how you feel. Feel the weight of the body. And begin to relax. Begin to relax. Draw a nice deep breath now into the belly, into the heart center, and ask yourself how you feel today. What do I need today? What does my body need? What does my mind need? What do I need today? And we begin to focus on this. So you begin to send your breath wherever you need to send it. Maybe you feel tension. Maybe you feel a slight tightness in the chest. Maybe you feel the forehead almost bunching up, tension in the eyebrows. Ask yourself what you need today and send that breath to that space. Become intuitive, the body and the mind as one. And slowly begin to open the eyes, noticing how you feel. And thanking yourself for being in this mini meditation today. As always, if you enjoyed this, please do share. Make sure you go and follow the girls at Finding Your Feet. As always, every single share, every single download means the world to a podcast host. So thank you so much.